I had a very, very interesting day yesterday. And of course, last weekend, you remember Monica and I got to spend some time with Guy Penrod, who's just a marvelous tenor singer for many, many years with the Baker Vocal Band, and just a marvelous man, and we just had a great time. Well, Monica and I and Truman and Linda Monroe, who lives out there in Spencer County with us, we took them down to almost the very farthest corner of Kentucky that you can get, next to Illinois and Tennessee, even down below Murray, about 30, 40 miles, to visit a niece that they have. And then we stopped and ate at a place called Patty's. How many of you have ever heard of Patty's or been there? It's in land between the lakes. Any of you ever heard of it? Well, it's a real neat place to eat. Every president in the last 30 years of this country has eaten there, except for the current president we have now. And they say they're trying to get him to come there. They give special invitations to the presidents. They got pictures of all of them up there that have come and ate in this place. Now, it's a country place, but they're known for one big thing. They have chocolate, lemon, and coconut pie. And the meringue is 8 inches. I'm not kidding. It comes out like this. Everybody knows what kind of a diet I'm on. But one day a week, I get a break.
My last Sunday?
No, not last Sunday.
Yes.
No. You girls tell on me. Don't tell on me. You know, we cross fingers and everything. Don't tell on me. But Monica and I split this pie. I ate 3 bites and she ate the rest of it. She'd never seen it. But this has nothing to do with the story I'm going to tell. I just want to throw that in. I guess I'm going to find out in a minute what you watch on TV. In Beaver Dam, coming back last night, we stopped to get gas. I pulled up, and Monica and Linda and Truman, they were about all locked out in the vehicle asleep. It was about, I don't know, maybe 7 o'clock or so. And I'm pumping gas, and there's this guy on the other side of me in a red maroon Toyota pickup truck. Very Kentucky-looking, ugliest head I've ever seen in my 4 days. And he's pumping gas, and I'm pumping gas, and he looks at me and he said, I think I know you. He said, have I seen you before? And I said, oh, you don't look familiar to me. He said, oh, well, that hurts me. But he said, I've seen you somewhere. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister. I pastor a church alone. He said, that's where it's at. He said, I live in the eastern part of Kentucky, and he said, my mother somehow or other found out about your website and watches you on the website. I've watched you a couple times. Well, this gets more interesting. So he said, I thought I'd seen you somewhere. He said, you don't recognize me. No. He said, well, I'm on cable TV. I said, okay. He said, they call me the turtle. Who is the turtle? This is a character. I'm going to tell you right now. I said, they call me the one. He said, I hope some people in your congregation, he said, they call me the turtle man. He said, I trap turtles and all kinds of stuff, and they put me on TV here a couple, 3 years ago. And he said, I'm on the way down here to this part of the state to film another pastor down and catch a turtle on somebody's farm. And I said, they call you the turtle man. Is that what you said? Yep. Yeah. He said, just ask your congregation. He said, it hurts me that you don't recognize me. You people know who the turtle man is? What kind of a congregation do I have? This is one wild looking character, I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm going to have to Google him. I've never heard of him.
Well, he's Well, is he on the History Channel or?
Animal Planet.
Animal Planet, okay, all right. All right. Well, anyway, I met the Turtle Man in Beaver Dam, Kentucky, coming home last night, filling gas, and the fact that he recognized me and I didn't recognize him because I'm on the internet, I don't know what to tell you about that. I got back in the vehicle and they're all in there sleeping and I'm pulling off and I said, and I asked Truman, I said, have you ever heard of a person called the Turtle Man? I said, the Turtle Man? Yeah, I have. I said, well, evidently he's from Kentucky, he was trapped turtles and he's on TV. I said, dude, I think I did see him. He said, man, that's a nut. I said, why does Paul Gass beside him? How do I get in these messes? I don't know. But I mean, what are the odds of that in Beaver Dam, Kentucky? We're going to be pumping gas at the same time. The preacher and the turtle man, we're together. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, we're going to continue our series on joy. I need people to understand how important it is to have joy and to come across with joy and how you live your life. You're not going to have a perfect life, not in any way, shape, or form. We're not talking about a perfect life. We're not talking about a life we're not going to have problems. But we're talking about people who are secured in their salvation to know that no matter what kind of day they're having, there's joy to be had when we call upon the name of Jesus. And if we don't, there's a flip side of this that we're going to look at. Because the opposite of joy can be misery. And we all know what that's like. We've got a person in here that at some point in their life hasn't been miserable. And maybe you're miserable today. It doesn't mean that you're lost, but it means you just let life become overwhelming for what goes on. Let's see what Proverbs says about it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is troubled. Wow. Bow your heads with me, please. Is every head bowed? Father, may everything that we do bring glory to your kingdom. Father, may your words come alive on the screen. That we truly understand that, Father, we can have joy if we'll keep our thoughts and our heart and our minds focused on you. But Father, if we don't, there's sorrow around every man. Father, may we truly understand what it is to be and to have this wonderful effect that you can have on us when we live for you. Father, may we understand that the most important thing that we can do in this life is to be a witness for you. Let people know we have joy because of Jesus. Father, may you bless these times together. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
How to get joy? You get it through Jesus. Jesus equals joy. Outside of Jesus, outside of his presence, outside of anything he stands for, there's no joy. Take a look at what it says here with me. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If you're in a good mood, people are going to see that. A smile goes a long way. But we all know what it is to be in a bad mood. Anybody here ever been in a bad mood before? Anybody? Get both hands up. Anybody here ever been in a bad mood before? Absolutely. Absolutely. And most of the time you can tell it. Because most of us are not good actors or good actresses. I mean, when we're in a bad mood, when something's going wrong, you can see it all over us. You can see it in our mannerisms. You can hear it in our language. You can see it how we act. Is that true? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, that's why Satan comes at you. That's why he wants you to be like that. Because the more miserable you are, the more that you look at people like that, how can you be a witness for Jesus? If Jesus equals joy and you're in misery, there's no attraction here to bring people to Jesus, is there? So that's why Satan tries to destroy your joy. Look what it says. but by sorrow of the heart. Sorrow of the heart. Sorrow means you're depressed. Sorrow means you're angry. Means you're confused. Means you think nobody loves you. You don't care. You don't care nobody. You don't care about anything. You get your heart so hardened that there's no way that any type of love can get in there. Now, I tell you, there have been some times in every one of our lives that it can get like that. Nobody here is immune to that. Nobody. Nobody. Everybody here has got pressure on them. Everybody here has got issues. Everybody here has got problems. There's not a perfect person in this auditorium, nor anybody watching me on the internet today, has a perfect life. And all it takes is one little deal, and if Satan finds out what it is, he's going to try to bring his all into your life. Look what it says. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. When something's broken, it don't work. I didn't go ahead with that, did I? Huh? If it's broke, it don't work. You got a car won't start, it's broke. You got a lawnmower won't start, it's broke. You got a husband who won't work, he's broke. You got a wife in a bad mood, she's broke. You got kids that act, whatever, they're broke. And that's what Satan wants. He wants us broken spirits. He wants us down. He wants us out. He wants us knocked down, knocked down, put under the bus. Don't worry about getting run over the bus. Just get under the bus and keep running over you. Because he's trying to break you. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Say amen. You understand? Don't think that he can't get to you. Because he can if you take your eyes off of Jesus. You get outside of the presence of Jesus, Satan will break you and he'll break you fast. And then once you're broken, what are you? You're broken. Useless. It's going to take somebody to come back with some super glue to put you back together. But I don't care how broke you are. I don't care what kind of pieces you're in. If you'll turn your life back over to Jesus, he will put you back piece by piece by piece. And once he gets you whole again, and you surround yourself with him, Satan will never, ever break you again. Give the Lord a hand. Look at here, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart feels good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A merry heart feels good like a medicine. I'm on six kinds of medicine. One's for my heart, one's for my nerves, one's for cholesterol, one's for sugar, one is to make me a nice man, and the other one is just well, I don't know what it's for. All right? Now, the right kind of medicine is good. And that's what this means. Some medicines are good. And when you take it the way you're supposed to take it, under a doctor who knows what they're doing, then most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it helps you. So the picture is a very hard good, good like medicine. Medicine makes you, heals you, makes you whole again. That's what it's designed. Medicine is here to prolong your life. Okay? That's what it's for. That's the way God is. That's what he does through Jesus. He is our medication. He is the one who keeps us going when we're down. He's the one when we got issues that puts us back together. Now look at the flip side. But a broken spirit dries the bones. You ever been thirsty before? That's miserable to be thirsty. Now, sometimes, now my wife explains to me why this is, but I don't know. But sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and my mouth will be just as dry as it can be. And I'll have to go in and get a drink. And I said something to Monica one time. I said, I don't know what it is, but I get thirsty in the middle of the night. She said, let me tell you something. If you heard what came out of your mouth, Lord knows you know why you're thirsty. So I don't know what comes out of my mouth, but Lord, I'm thirsty, I can tell you that right now. And it's awful, your mouth is dry. But I know that I can get up and go and get a drink of water. But can you imagine being thirsty and can't find water? Well, this is exactly how our soul and our life is when Satan destroys it. It's like being out in the desert, you're thirsty, and there's no water in sight. Then all of a sudden, you see a pond. You see something that's water-related. Now, I promise you one thing. Listen to me closely. If you're thirsty enough and you see water, you're going to run to it. Because you need it to save your life. Well, that's the only way it is with Jesus. When you realize how much you need Him and He's presented to you, you need to run to Him and run to Him as fast as you can run to Him, because He's the one that's going to save your life. Now, if you're dried up and you're miserable, and all that kind of stuff, how can you be a witness for God? Because Satan wants to dry you up. He wants to make sure that you're miserable. And there's nothing any more miserable than that. Because then your lips. You change the vowel, it makes a difference. But your lips get all chapped, and then they dry out, and then they split open, and all that kind of stuff. I hate all that. You know, it makes it look like someone's busted me in the mouth or something. And I know that's not true. And so, you know, it's miserable. And then you get that water, and you drink it, and then you begin to level out. Next thing you know, you're just thirsty. But you gotta get up an hour later and do something else. That's another story in your mind. But you drink it. It's there. You love it. You want it. You desire it. Why? Because you're in need of it. You need Jesus. You need Jesus in order to have joy in your life. And then once you have it, other people pick up on it. People understand it. People see it. Then you can witness for the Lord, because they want to know. People usually want to know, why are you happy? Why do you have joy? Why are you smiling? And you can tell them. You don't even have to say anything. If they'll just see that you truly have joy in your life, that you're not dried up like a broom, and that your spirit's not broken. Because you should never have a spirit that's broken. You should be merry and joyful no matter what kind of day you're having. Because remember this, when this life is over, the worry is gone. The misery is gone. Because Jesus died on the cross for you. And I promise you one day, just as the special song said, the angels are going to carry you away forever and ever for eternity because of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. If that's not enough to make you happy, I don't know what will. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry. Jesus talking here in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Here's the answer. Look at it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation. The greatest invitation on the planet. Come unto me. I want to make it right. I want to take care of you. I want to watch over you. I want to give you rest. Rest means peace of mind. You don't know how important this is until you don't have it. I mean, people go to all kinds of means to try to have peace of mind. And it's within your reach when you call upon Jesus. Look what else it says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in my soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The best way that you can understand and to get the truest form of peace in your life is to seek out Jesus. When you do, He's there. I don't care what time of night, I don't care where you're at, I don't care what you do, I don't care what you've done. When you learn of Him, I promise you, He will give you rest and peace of mind and peace of heart. Because He'll save your soul. Not only will He save your soul, He'll keep your soul from eternity to eternity to eternity. Look what He says here. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is not here to condemn you. He's here to save you. He's not here to lecture you. He's here to love you. But here's the deal. He's not going to force Himself on you. This is going to be your decision. You want to stay in misery? Stay in misery. You don't want to turn it around? If you want to stay broken, you stay broken. But you've been given the answer. And it doesn't mean that everything goes away. It doesn't mean I walk down the aisle, I give my life to Jesus, and everything's perfect. That's not what that says. But it says that no matter what you're going to deal with, I'm going to be there with you. When you fall, I'm going to lift you up. When you trip, I'm going to pick you up. When you're dirty, I'm going to wash you off. When you're sad, I can make you glad. This is Jesus telling us that the choice is yours. You can stay in your rut, your misery, all of your life. That's what you want to have. But understand this. Understand this person. If you choose to do that, it's your fault. Internet world, it's your fault. Because the answer is right in front of you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's your choice, your decision. But make it because he's coming soon. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Larry. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't care what it is that's dragging you down to life. Satan's trying to drag you, trying to make you miserable. Whatever it is, you serve a God, and there is a God that can overcome it. There is nothing that you've done, have done, or will do that will keep you out of the grace, keep you out of the love of Jesus, other than the mind that he's the Son of God. And if you do that, you're hell bound. That's not me. That's the gospel. But if you believe in Jesus, or if you will accept Jesus, and you'll put him in your life, that doesn't mean that everything in the world is going to go rosy. But it means from now on, you've got somebody that's going to help you day and night. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you call upon Jesus, he will be there to help you, comfort you, guide you, and anything else that you need when you call upon him. Because he's there. And I don't care what it is. What you're doing, nothing is impossible with God. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, these moments. In everything that we do, bring glory to your kingdom. Father, bless this congregation today. It's not by accident that we're here today. It's been planned through the ages. To hear this word upon high and to receive the gospel today. This is your day. This is your moment. No one here is promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make it right with the Lord. If you need a quiet time with this offer, you come. Because it's today. It's today. The trumpet is ready to sound. God's coming for his people. Make sure that you belong to him. You're watching us via the internet today. You keep one thing in mind. No matter where you're at or what you're doing, you can bow your heads right now and say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my heart. He will change it, and he'll change it today, and he'll change it for eternity. If you'll yield to him and invite him into your life. The greatest decision that you'll ever make is to accept Jesus. If you're looking for a good church home, we'd love to have you come back to church. We preach the gospel as best we know how. We present Jesus the best we know how. In the world and the day in which we live, nothing on this planet Jesus did for you on Calvary. Father, bless these moments. Bless this time of invitation. We turn it to you, and we praise the name of Jesus. In that precious and holy name, we pray. Your head to bow and your eyes.